Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's high noon, another beautiful afternoon, and this one happens to be Saturday of a long weekend. And thanks so much for joining us on Nation Radio. We're here every Saturday between noon and 2, and we're at Nation Radio at theteam1260.com if you want to drop us a line. Also, we're on Twitter at It's Nation Radio. And we got a very busy show coming up. We're going to talk to Cam Moon, play-by-play guy for the Red Deer Rebels. We'll talk a little bit about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and also Brett Ferguson, who's been invited to the Oilers rookie camp. Very interesting prospect. Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun will join us at about 20 after 12, and we'll talk about the Jets, Dustin Byfuglien in a boat, and what he's been doing this summer. And we'll also try to trade for Zach Bogosian. We'll see how that goes. Julian from Pension Plan Puppets will join us just before the top of the hour. We'll talk about Wade Bielak and the concussion issues and depression issues and all of those things, although I don't want to get too deeply into it because I really do believe there's a lot of information we don't know about it, but mostly it'll be an opportunity to look back on a fine career of WHL player and Toronto Maple Leaf and various other NHL teams, Wade Bielak, and his very tragic passing this week. In hour number two, Corey Graham will join us, and we'll talk about Edmonton Oil Kings, how they look. Of course, a big tournament coming up in St. Albert starting tomorrow, the Oil Kings' fifth annual. Can you believe that? Fifth annual tournament. And be talking to him about, well, a few people, including Martin Gernat, who's looking very good. Oiler draft pick who was taken, what, in the 50th round? He looks like he's a player, and we'll talk to him about all of the Oil Kings and the WHL and how it looks this year. A new blog just in the last few weeks, Oil Drop. Rob Soria will join us about 20 after 1. We'll talk to Rob about his blog, where he comes from, his background, and what he's going to be telling us about throughout this winter. Of course, your emails are welcome. And we're hoping to get to a fascinating interview that's caused some waves at Oilers Nation and a few other blogs and spots around the internet and on radio. An interview with Robin Brownlee and I think it was Gene Principe. With regard to Jason Bonsignor and how he was treated by specifically Glenn Sather. And that interview, if we have time, we'll replay it. And I think it's a very fascinating look at the Edmonton Oilers, say, 17, 18 years ago, and how it might be a little bit different bringing in high-end talent and high-end draft picks nowadays, or maybe it's the same. We'll talk about that and hopefully get to that interview before 2 o'clock today. Busy week if you're an Oiler fan. I mentioned a few minutes ago, out at Service Place starting tomorrow, I think it's 6 WHL teams, Medicine Hat, Red Deer, Calgary, Swift Current, Prince George, Oil Kings, are all playing in round-robin fashion. It begins tomorrow morning. And if you get out to Service Center in St. Albert to see any of those games, should be very good. I'm not exactly certain of the rosters. Maybe we'll talk to Corey about that, but that's going to be a great event. And, of course, we're a week away from everything happening with the Oilers rookie camp out in Penticton. And that roster has been released. We'll talk about that throughout the afternoon as well. Some stories that impacted the Edmonton Oilers and the fan base this week. Flames GM Jay Feaster, I don't know if you heard this or not, but he doesn't see the Flames going with a rebuild similar to what the Oilers are doing. He was in a basically talking to the fan base of the Flames about what they're going to be looking forward to this year, and I think he's tiring of questions like, do the Flames plan on doing a complete rebuild like the Oilers? Because he said, and I want to quote this, I'm sorry, Edmonton finished where last year, caller? Want to wager on where we finish relative to Edmonton this year? I'm tired of this question. I'll tell you very honestly, I'm getting a little sour. How many times every year for the last 10 years, 5 years, 8 years, have they finished in the bottom 5, bottom 7, bottom 10? They've had to pick anywhere from number 1 to number 10 year after year after year after year after year, and they still wander in the desert, and they're no closer to getting out than they were 10 years ago. You know what? I look forward to the Battle of Alberta for the next X number of years. If the idea is burn it to the ground, then can find another manager to do it. It's a beautiful quote. It really is. And if that does, I think it should help the Battle of Alberta, even if it's just in the stands. You know, interesting. And Jay Feaster is a guy who has done that a little bit before. So we'll have to monitor his quotes and his live hits because it looks like we've got a live one and somebody who's willing to stir the pot just a little bit. And I, for one, welcome him. I think it's a great thing that he's a little bit on the outside of the average media quote. We talked about Ryan Whitney's injury last week, and there were more reports this this week, and specifically Whitney talking about it and saying he was concerned he'd had a little bit of a setback, another rut in the ice. I don't know where they're making ice nowadays, but it looks like it'll be fine, but it's something as we should monitor as we get closer to the real training camp, which is, what, a couple of weeks away now. And I read this morning online the study on that riot in Vancouver after Game 7 is in. Apparently too many drunk people and not enough police. So it was a real mystery, and now that one is solved. So, Connor, you haven't asked me yet about how I... Oh, he's on the phone right now. Sorry, buddy. I'm dressed in a suit, and I've been sitting here for 5 minutes now, Connor, and you haven't even asked me why I'm dressed like...
You're looking
like
pretty dapper today.
Well, do you want... the reason I'm dressed like this is after the show, I'm going down to Palace Casino because Dustin Nielsen is involved, and I'm thinking 2 hours he'll still be a live player in the Texas Hold'em tournament at Palace Casino, and he's there with... he had a Playboy model on yesterday. She's playing, a bunch of other celebrities, and it's a cash tournament, too, for a few listeners that we... who won an opportunity to play there. So I'm looking forward to it. I think Dusty can win this thing, right? Because he's got that blank face where there's really nothing going on. Anyway, I'll be down cheering for Dustin Nielsen, and I think that tournament gets underway. We'll follow him on Twitter and see exactly what's going on. It's 12:06, and we're joined now by Cam Moon from the Red Deer Rebels. And Cam, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, doing absolutely great. How about you?
Last time I talked to you, you were at a tournament, I believe, and it was a ball tournament, and working very hard. Are you through that and just relaxing before things kind of go crazy?
Yeah, it's already crazy. Yeah, the baseball ended last weekend, and Rebels training camp started last weekend, and they had their black and white game on Wednesday, and then the team will be in St. Albert tomorrow to start the Edmonton Oil King tournament. So, yeah, it's going full bore already.
What kind of roster I'm planning on going out because it's going to be a great tournament. What kind of roster can we expect when we get there? Obviously, there'll be a few players who aren't there, but we should have a look at some pretty good young hockey players.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of youth. There'll be a lot of rookies in the lineup. There won't be any of the players that are going to NHL camps will not be playing for Red Deer through this weekend. So anybody that's drafted or invited to a camp won't be playing. So it's going to be a lot of young guys. The team's first-round pick a few years ago, Cale Detzel, a 16-year-old defenseman from Saskatchewan, Rosetown, in fact. He'll be likely in the lineup. The team's first-round pick from this year, Connor Bleakley, from Southern Alberta, from High River, and he is also likely to be in the lineup. But there's some Edmonton guys that will be in there too. Mark McCoy, who played with the Southside Athletic Club, he's got a good shot at being in the lineup at some point this weekend. And Trace Elson, Turner Elson's younger brother. Turner has played for the Rebels the last two seasons. Trace played with the Maple Leaf Athletic Club last year. And he's probably got a pretty good shot at being in the lineup, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a youthful lineup. I'm sure the teams that the Rebels are taking on are also going to be in that same type of mode, an opportunity for the coaching staff to evaluate the new players.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the Rebels that Oiler fans are very interested in, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I'm reading some crazy stuff. I think everybody's kind of getting ahead of themselves a little bit. I read, I can't remember where, that a deal had been struck between the Oilers and the Red Deer Rebels that Nugent-Hopkins would play the first 9 games, then get sent out. It had been a prearranged deal. That kind of thing doesn't happen, right? He has an opportunity to earn a spot, but if not, he'll be back in Red Deer.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing prearranged. It's the Oilers' call. He's now a signed player by the Edmonton Oilers, and they will ultimately dictate where he plays this season, whether it be in the National Hockey League or whether it be in the Western Hockey League. And that's what training camp and preseason and possibly the first 9 games of the regular season, that's what it's going to be for the Oilers brass to figure out whether they want to keep him at that level or whether he's ready for that level this year or not. I mean, we can all speculate all day as to whether he is or isn't ready, but it will come down to what he does at training camp, preseason, and then probably at the start of the regular season. I would think he'll get an extremely long look. He should. First overall pick should get a very long look, and he's a very skilled player, and I wouldn't be shocked at all that the preseason over and Ryan's averaging a little better than a point a game. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So I guess it'll come down to what he does, but no, there's no prearranged deal.
No, and also it should be mentioned that Taylor Hall, who is a little more mature player, a little older by months than Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is now, he struggled. He played well in preseason, but he struggled in his first six or seven NHL games. And yeah. if you'd asked anybody after six games, it might have been a different story. Now he picked it up and obviously had a fine rookie year, but it's certainly up in the air. One of the things about Nugent-Hopkins we've read this summer is that he's put on some weight. And he's obviously, working very hard. At the beginning of the summer, you and I talked about his agility and his tremendous ability to make people miss. He's just one of those guys who can move into a situation or move his body so he can avoid contact. Do you think that kind of weight gain, like 10, 12 pounds over a summer, will impact that, or do you think he's going to be able to just continue it?
No, I think he'll be just fine. 10 pounds, I mean, he's worked really hard at gaining weight and working on the ice and working on quickness and all these things. Part of that is just the maturation of the player, of the person. I mean, he's likely to put on some weight at this age anyway, and he's made sure that it's good weight, but I don't think that's going to be an issue. It still puts him at what, 175 yeah. pounds or yeah. whatever, probably a little under 180. By no means does that make him a heavy player, so I don't think that that's going to have a impact at all on his quickness, his ability to make guys miss. Certainly not going to impact his anticipation of the play, which I think is one of his greatest assets. So I only see that as a positive for him being a little stronger on the puck and ability to push guys off of it, which, for his size, he's very good at doing. It's amazing, really. So I think all of these are positives right now.
This is Nation Radio. We're in conversation with Cam Moon, and we're going to get into the Rebels and the WHL in just a minute. But one final question, a Rebel-related with regard to the Oilers. They invited Brett Ferguson to the rookie camp. Interesting player, and what can fans expect from him?
Well, Brett's first of all, a great person, an outstanding character. Came into Red Deer as an 18-year-old, played 18, 19, and 20 with the team after playing as AAA midget in Saskatchewan, and really developed over those 3 years. We saw a young man make great leaps and strides, not only in his game, but as a person off the ice. He was extremely committed to community work away from the rink, which he was the first guy to step up and say, yeah, I'll do it, whatever it was. And he went out of his way. He did stuff on his own, like stuff that didn't even really go through the Rebels' office. I mean, he was unbelievable. He turned into a real solid defensive forward with the team, although still was able to get his points. But his main asset was being really good on the penalty kill. He was extremely responsible in his own end, but had some touch around the opposition net, which developed over time, and worked really hard. A guy that was one of those first guys on the ice and the last guys off the ice, and a real character guy. So I think it's great that he was able to get an invite to an NHL training camp. The fact that it's the Oilers, even better, because he's really good friends with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. So, I mean, that will be a comfort situation for both players. And great to see that, because it's really one of the fun things about the Western Hockey League is seeing guys come in as rookies and where they end up when they leave, and seeing the way Brett Ferguson improved on and off the ice over three seasons was amazing. And I don't know if going to the Oiler camp is going to parlay itself into a contract or not, but if it doesn't, fine. He's able to get that NHL training camp experience, and I know he's got education money that he's banked up by playing in the Western Hockey League, and he can take advantage of that. And I know the University of Alberta would love to have him, and I think that's a real good route for the young man if that's the way it goes. So either way, I think Brett Ferguson comes out a winner.
Now, you last year, I think it was in maybe October, November, you called your 1,000th game?
Yeah, it was early last season.
That's a remarkable milestone, and I know in the Western Hockey League where Bob Ridley's been, you know, doing since 1972, I don't know what it is on the all-time list, but that's a remarkable amount of hockey, and you've seen some outstanding players run through Red Deer.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to get a job in the Western Hockey League. Lucky to stay and really lucky to be in a place like Red Deer that I absolutely love and see some great players. And I can go on and on, but Cam Ward from Sherwood Park was unbelievable goaltender here for 3 years and then moves on to the Carolina Hurricanes. And that guy was just, when he was in goal, it didn't matter if the team struggled offensively. You always knew you had a chance to win the game. Jim Vandermeer, who's from Caroline, Alberta, that guy just struck the fear of God into some people the way he would play. And by his 20-year-old year, rarely got in a tilt because there weren't many that wanted to go with him. And that year, I mean, he hardly had any fights. It just wasn't part of his game by that point because there were no takers. But was a good defenseman and a real character. The whole family's a real character. He's got five other brothers that have all played minor pro hockey. And Brandon Sutter, who came in here, was a real strong player and a real good guy. We were able to see him. He's around here in the summer, so we see him quite a bit. But he was a treat to have here, and now with the Carolina Hurricanes. Colby Armstrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs. That guy was so funny. He still is. I don't know if anybody follows him on Twitter. I mean, he's got some good stuff. Obviously, if you saw him on TSN in the playoffs, I mean, there's a real sense of humor with that young man, and we really enjoyed having him here. But and you know what? There's a lot of guys that have come through, and then you see go on to Canadian university hockey, and then eventually you see them after they graduate and get into whatever field that they chose. We had a big reunion here this summer for the Memorial Cup team because it had been 10 years. Plus, we had other alumni involved with some golfing, and we had a hockey game, and we also had a lot of fun. So it was nice to see a lot of those guys. It's at that point where you realize, you're getting old. They've been here a long time. And, I mean, these guys, some of the guys that have been gone for 10 years, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're still here too. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But it's unbelievable. I think it's, to me, it's one of the greatest leagues. I love the league. I love the places you get to go. I love the differences of going to small town Moose Jaw and big city Vancouver and playing in the big boy rinks like Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver, but playing in some smaller ones too, where the atmosphere in Medicine Hat. I mean, you take a Saturday night game when Red Deer's in Medicine Hat, and they don't like Red Deer much. I mean, it's a pretty good atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun to be involved in. Or if Medicine Hat's in Red Deer on a Saturday night, I mean, that's pretty good too. I really enjoy it. I hope I can go another 1,000.
Now, this is the first year that, speaking of buildings, that Medicine, the hardest thing in Medicine Hat is to get a darn ticket.
Yeah.
But the Moose Jaw, the that rink is done now, right?
Like, yes.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You must have loved calling games there.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, I didn't, actually. I can't wait to see the new one. The old one certainly had its charms. Because it was, I want to say it was built in the 50s,
yeah.
And it's built into the ground, and it's got the goofy saddle dome type roof. Of course, it gets pretty low by center ice there. I'd been in that, and I'd seen the Western League final in there when they played the Vancouver Giants. I want to say that was 06. It was absolutely crazy in there. You couldn't hear yourself talk. And they're going to lose some of that going to the new rink, but it'll be nice that they'll be in a new facility that'll be downtown. I mean, the other one's kind of on the edge. Not that it's very far from downtown to the edge, but
yeah.
What I'm saying
yeah.
is right in the middle of town, which probably helps all the downtown businesses. But I just look forward to that. Moose Jaw is a nice little place.
It is.
The people are very friendly.
And there's lots to do underground, too.
Yes, there is.
So, quickly, before we let you go here, I know it's too early to really handicap the entire Western Hockey League, but really quickly, what do you think, what do you see for the Oil Kings, the Rebels, and, say, the Hitmen this year as we move forward into the season?
I'll start with the Oil Kings. I think they've got a tremendous club. They've got all the key elements are coming back for them this year from last year's team. Last year's team able to make the playoffs. They got that experience of the first round with the Red Deer Rebels. And I think they'll make that next step. I see the Edmonton Oil Kings as a top four team in the Eastern Conference. So I see them with home ice in the first round. For Calgary, I mean, they were dead last in the division last year. I think they'll be better, but I don't think it's going to be a quantum leap. I think they'll be slightly improved. Making the playoffs might be a little bit of a large goal. I don't know if they're going to get there. Red Deer, there's some big question marks. This team could be really, really good. And the big question mark is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Is he coming back or not? And we're not going to know that until probably November. If he comes back and if the goaltending is good, Darcy Kuemper moves on to the Minnesota Wild organization, and he had 13 shutouts last year and put up all sorts of team records. It was amazing. I mean, he moves on, so that's obviously a big piece of the puzzle. The Rebels have brought in an import goaltender, Patrick Bartoszak, who's an 18-year-old from the Czech Republic. They got Dawson Gooley, a 19-year-old from Daysland, Alberta, and Bolton Pouliot, 17-year-old from Calgary, with the team right now. There's also a 15-year-old goaltender with the team right now, Granton Herniak, but he can't play for the club this year full-time. So among those three, is there going to be a guy that can carry the mail and be the guy? That remains to be seen. So if the goaltending's good and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is back, I see the Red Deer Rebels battling for a top spot in the Central Division, probably battling with the Edmonton Oil Kings. If not, well, it's going to be a little bit tougher. But there's a lot of depth on the blue line with the Red Deer Rebels, not the least of which being Alex Petrovic, an Edmonton guy, a second-round pick of the Florida Panthers. Aaron Barreco's an Edmonton guy, and he's a 20-year-old, fourth year in the Western Hockey League. There's a lot of depth back there. And Justin Weller, who's from Daysland also, and a Phoenix Coyote draft pick. So I think the blue line's going to be a real pillar of strength.
Beautiful. Cam, do you Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Well, but there's two of us that kind of do the Red Deer Rebels one.
Okay.
But I don't have a personal one. Nobody needs to know what I think.
What about blogs, anything like that? Where can we read you?
No, those scare me. Like, I don't trust me.
Well, good. That's probably wise.
That's why. Yeah, because I could start twittering at 2 a.m. I mean, nothing good comes of that. Nothing.
Or then driving.
You're on, like, the front page of a paper. I try to avoid controversy now.
Cam, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
All right, Cam Moon. We talked a lot about several things. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Brett Ferguson, who's an invite to the Oilers rookie camp. You know what? He talked about the Red Deer Rebels and the great players, including Cam Ward, who killed us in 06 and played well before that as a Reb, and handicapped the year for the WHL Alberta teams, or at least the ones we had time to discuss. And Oil Kings, man, they've got some positive arrows. So we thank Cam, and we're up next with Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun.